You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, look who showed up. Anyways.
Hey, Ryan Miller.
Hello. Just running in here. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. He looks exhausted.
No idea.
You look absolutely exhausted.
I've not had their best day. Let me put it that way. It was a debate on whether I was going to make it or not at all. So.
Oh, no.
You need to go.
Rough this morning, so
yeah. If you need to go.
Well, I'm gonna. You guys don't mind. I'm gonna try it out and see if I feel well enough to do this. So, if I need to cut in a little bit, I'll let you know.
No worries.
Yeah, no worries. It's okay. I don't know. I get the same thing that Ryan usually has to end up with and stuff like that because of my week, but you know, my weekend, you know, I kind of kind of feel it this time, you know. Hold on. I am attempting to do something.
And, it's just not going according to plan, I'm assuming.
Oh, God, no, nothing. Is it going according to plan? And it really stinks right now, and I'm trying to get it to work. And all you people keep asking for Rumble, I hate you. This is annoying. This is.
Well, that's fair.
You know, but, you know, I'm doing it. I'm doing it for you.
At least you're trying. At least they're requesting we give the viewers what they want. They say they want Rumble. We attempt to put it on Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah, we try. I'm trying anyway.
Attempt is the key word there.
Correct. Yeah, definitely attempting. Anyway, so while I was doing that thing, while I was attempting to do the thing over there, hello, everybody, and welcome to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the We Libertarians Network. I'm your host for this evening. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target, and I'm really sleepy and tired myself because I've had a very fun weekend of server migration that went well. Let's just say everything happened on the chart, but did not go according to plan. But we made it. Servers migrated. We're live. Production's live. I barely wanted to touch it today, and I've got a lot to do to it tomorrow still, but it's running. Backups ran, tested the backups, that worked too. So, yeah! Anyways, but as you guys know, I don't fly solo. I bring everybody else with me because, one, I've got low energy, so I've got to bring other people who have bring up the energy. So everyone knows who's very famous for their high energy, especially on, you know, every podcast he gets on, Reinhold. Go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing? So, Harry and I were supposed to get together and talk this morning, early this morning. Just like, we're both had a rough week. Weekend. So. Okay. So I was like, I don't think I can make it because I'm having an issue with a tooth and my face is swollen because of it. And I feel like it's not, like, I think what I tell you, I said, I feel like I look like, Logan Paul got punched by Mike Tyson. So at least that's how it felt this morning. So still not doing great, but it's been a long work day. I had to spend several hours on the on the phone on meetings today, leading the meeting. So I just talk for hours at a time. So I'm a little winded today. So but I'm going to try and do my best.
That's fine. You do your best. And hopefully it works. Hopefully anyways. Trying anyways. Anyway, so also first we got here. We host the guy who created the topic for this evening, gave us something to talk about. We've got Vincent. Vincent, go ahead and say hi.
Hey everybody, I'm here. My week has not been as miserable as these guys'. I just kind of went to work and listened to audiobooks as I normally do, and then came home and just missed that hour of sleep because of terrible daylight savings. And I just wish Indiana would go back to being the only place that didn't have daylight savings.
God, you know, it's a does make you wonder, like, man, we used to be a society of
we live in a society.
And now, well, we still have the special Indiana time zone in Windows, right, in Microsoft products. So there's still that time zone that's specific to it. We don't need it anymore, but it's there for backwards compatibility. We could always jump back there. You know, we've got, it wouldn't cause too much trouble on that side of things. So.
If only.
Yeah.
It was so great.
I still don't think there should be time zones at all. That would just eliminate everything, but, you know.
All right, I got it.
People can't handle the idea of going to work when it's dark out. Or not going to start here, but actually, like, oh, it's 12 p.m. noon, but it's, you know, it would be our dark or something like that. I mean, it just
yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. By the way, I did get the Rumble stream working.
Nice.
So we are officially streaming live on Rumble. I had to create my own account. Couldn't get Dear Leader to get moving on anything. So that's out of the troubles I have. So
we're on Rumble now. We can do all conspiracy theory stuff, right?
Yeah, technically we can, you know.
Well, that's what gets you views on Rumble. So we gotta up our game over there now.
Is that what gets us views on Rumble?
I have genuinely no idea.
All right, so I just wanted everyone to know. I'm gonna create a banner. Have that banner, yeah. So yeah, I don't have a vanity link. Like I said, I just set the sucker up. So yeah, you too can come visit us on Rumble. So all you people kids are like, why'd you stream on Rumble? Boom, we're there. We're there. Create our own channel. We're there. There. It's there. Probably not how you want it. Probably you want it on the big channel, but deal with the, you know, Dear Leader to get that working. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I made it work for you guys. Stop asking me for it. Okay. Anyways. Or was I? I was, you know, sorry, distracted by the technical doing production or producer stuff, which I should make producer Paul do, but he's not. Yeah.
I mean, it just means you haven't been forcing producer Paul to do things. You just start forcing him to do it, to show up at his house. He's like, hey, do this.
Honestly, like one of the, all right, so Ryan, I bugged Reinhold about this a week ago. Like, let's get up early morning and do like a podcast early in the morning and talk politics, right? But the first weekend we did it, we were both awake, ready to go, but we both assumed each other was asleep.
it was like I saw him as being idle and he saw me as being idle, but I was active and he was active and we saw each other. It was just the weirdest thing. It was like Discord was lying to us, completely lying to us. So I'm like, well, I don't want to bug him. It's five, you know, it's so early. And he was like, I don't want to bug him and it's so early. And so we were just
kind of. I know we made a plan, but I don't want to.
Well, that's the thing. It was the plan. Here's the problem.
My feelings.
Harry tells me, next week Monday. So do I? Oh, is that next week Monday, or is that this coming Monday?
Okay, all right.
So there was confusion there.
I can see how that's my fault. That's some bit of my fault. I'll take that L. but yeah, and then this Monday, right? I was up. I had zero energy. I was like, okay, see if Reinhold's going to do this. Hopefully, I'm going to make Reinhold carry the show.
Hopefully, he doesn't do it.
I'm going to make him carry the show in his back, and then he pre-messaged me. It's like, no, I ain't got it. I'm like, good, I ain't got it either.
No, thank God his tooth blew up. That's great. Good rest now.
Yes. My prayers are answered. No, because like the worst things ever happened to your migration, right? Like, get everything planned. I had it down by the time, right? It felt like I was going to battle, right? 8 o'clock hits. I go, cool, Terraform apply, right? All the DNS changing, right? Prod site goes down, switching everything to the new site, the pointer things, everything just starts changing. Done. Okay, now all I need is the migration services to boot the thing. Contact the guy that's supposed to do that. No answer.
It's great because he was in Discord with us and he didn't get an answer for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's like 10 o'clock. He could have been gaming the whole time. Instead, trying to migrate servers.
Yep. Yeah, which I didn't get to actually fully migrate because like I stayed up all night fixing other things and I don't, like the load, some load balancer stuff was wrong. Some of the other settings were messed up. Some changing settings, doing everything like. And then I just started continuing on my list. So it's like, okay, the servers aren't here. I'm just going to act like they're here and just keep going. So I did that. But yeah, anyway, that's here or there. No one wants to hear about how I suffered. Let's get into the topic at hand before we get too far off into the weeds. Vincent, go ahead and introduce the topic.
Alrighty. So last week, the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, passed away. And at the age of 68, which is incredibly young if you think about it, compared to a lot of other things. And it was a very sad moment because a lot of people, it's crazy to see the outpour of support from all over the anime community, from fans to creators. Like, a lot of different mangakas drew like tribute artwork to Toriyama because of how influential he was. But he didn't just do Dragon Ball. He did Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball Super. But he also did a lot of the artwork for Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo. And when they re-released it with cutscenes, he animated all the cutscenes. The Dragon Quest games from Square Enix are also based on his art style, so all the characters have a very Toriyama art style going forward in that series. So he's been around for like a long time, it feels like. And it feels, and Dragon Ball as a thing, I don't even know if did he work on GT? I didn't think so. But Dragon Ball Z is so synonymous with the pop culture to the point where it broke out of the anime sphere just to exist in the zeitgeist as a thing that people who don't even know about anime or care about anime knows what a Goku is. They've seen a Goku. They know what a Goku is, even though they don't even know what Dragon. They've never watched a Dragon Ball Z show episode in their life.
Yeah, it is weird what it is, because like it at the scope of like what anime is now, what it is currently now, technically it's crap anime. From what it is, but like from the style, but from the time, the place, and the thing is, to a lot of people it's their first anime. It's the thing that got them into researching more into anime, and they may not have been their first, but it was definitely in their top five of what they were watching at the time and made them watch other things. You know, everyone was talking about it. It was the thing of discussion, no matter, or if you were into other anime, you knew of a dra- you knew the heck that was, you know, you see these characters, you can write them down,
right?
The style of it is, and its copy points have just spawned even messed with things here, like in the United States. It was
right. And it's one of those crazy things of when you look at it, because Dragon Ball, the original series, was basically Journey to the West. Because that's how almost there's like five stories ever told, and one of them's Journey to the West. But then when Dragon Ball Z came out on Cartoon Network and Toonami, and they just showed it, and it was just something that was on television, it really caught a lot of people's attention because it felt like it filled, it went right next to the other things that were airing around that time with the superhero shows.
Yeah.
Like when you have Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League things, because Goku's story is so similar to Superman's story, people are way easier to just buy in immediately.
Right.
Alien from another planet goes to this, goes to Earth, grows up on Earth, wants to protect Earth from other aliens.
Yep.
Because he sees himself as an Earthling and he makes friends with humans, and in him and his human friends try to protect the Earth.
Yep.
And it's such a simple, straightforward story that it got, it was very easy for people to just immediately buy in.
Yep. It's for our generation, it's the story that also got, because of Goku's story of learning martial arts, getting better at martial arts, continually finding stronger opponents, working hard. Yes, he was naturally gifted, but he always just kept working hard. He made sure he was the hardest working one around it. It wasn't that I'm naturally gifted, I'm just going to float on my natural gifts. It was never that way. He was never that way throughout the series. And I think that also helped a lot of people watching the show going, I may be naturally gifted, but I have to work hard. You know, like there's so many people whose gym motivation or even their motivation to do martial arts in the real world, you know, like Rhino's generation, that was Bruce. They had Bruce Lee and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had David Carradine.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. David Carradine, Bruce Lee, and Chuck Norris. We have Goku.
But there's also the other thing is that Goku dies a lot. He's not invincible.
Right.
Yeah. And it allows people to buy him more. It's like, oh, he died. In the first arc, he dies. He has to literally run down a giant pathway to try to get to a chance to resurrect himself to save his own family. So it's like, it's such a simple story for a lot of people to buy into that it immediately got fans and things. And it was so eye-catching compared to a lot of other things because the animation style is so sharp and distinct compared to everything else that was going on at the time.
Yep.
So it's always got the attention of people who are watching, you know, like Dexter's Lab and Batman, and then all of a sudden you get these flashy combats of these two, this guy in an orange jumpsuit and this dude in a suit of armor.
They're fighting each other and they're just kicking and swinging and they're flying, and then you get the laser beam.
It feels like it's very much a primal kind of, yeah, let's watch these guys fight. This is awesome.
Right. And you get the screams, because every fan of the show at one point in time in life has probably tried to go Super Saiyan when they're real low. You know who you are.
So as somebody who doesn't know the whole history of all of this, is the I know from seeing, you know, pictures and stills and things like that, that the, like the fighting style when they have their hovering in the air with the you know, background behind, and they're and it's spent, is did that come from this, or was that a part of anime before and he just used, I don't know if maybe that style of depicting that fight scene was somehow brought into that, because I'm trying to remember back, because I used to watch before all of this, I used to watch you know, like Speed Racer and Battle of the Planets. That was my introduction into the anime. So I think they had some similar types of things with fighting, but I can't remember if it was quite as stylized as I think he did, and maybe people started picking up on after.
Right. It was also the fact that a lot of his stuff is based around martial arts, especially when Dragon Ball Z came out and Z was on television. The catalyst is they have the World Martial Arts Tournament that they have to go fight in before things start happening.
Yeah.
So Goku's base fighting style is based roughly on martial arts. And the whole Dragon Ball series beforehand, which was, you know, more of a adventure story that had an anime that wasn't aired on television in the West, as nearly as much as Dragon Ball Z has become synonymous, that it was this kid exploring and doing martial arts and action and combat like that. So it was much more, it really felt like one of the first like shonen series that was like all action and combat and was done in a style that was eye-catching enough to bring people in without it being, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah. He definitely brought it in a different style so that people look more flexible versus the wood. Because, all right, not just skirting a lot of the mangakas for like the other ones, like especially their animes, a lot of the fight scenes, it seemed like these guys' backs were made out of steel wool. They didn't move. Like, you're already dead. You know, these guys actually look like they move, they bend, and they were jabbing and stuff like that. So yeah, that was different. That little bit more fluid into the fight style.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they didn't do like the cheapness that G Gundam does or Street Fighter at the time where eat my multiple fist punches, it's just like this one and you just draw like a flash and that one hand just sits there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta cut those costs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have a lot of money at the time. No. But... But Dragon Ball Z just became is such, in my opinion, Dragon Ball Z was probably the catalyst to for anime to be what it is now, especially in the Western world. Because outside of Japan, if you ask somebody what anime they watch, it's probably going to be Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Millions, billions of people watch Dragon Ball Z. There are dubs in like 50 different languages.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And even though in Japan it's One Piece, mm-hmm. outside of Japan it's Dragon Ball Z.
Yep. Yeah. And it like it spans over like different cultures. So like you get inner city black kids, right? Know who the heck Piccolo Goku is. We'll wrap their stuff up. But at the exact same time, you can pick those 10 kids up, right? Take them to Florida, right? They find some Cubans and they also know who the Goku is. And they can sit there and have a talk about it, right? It's this weird, like, you know, like just position, because usually, like, you'll find like an anime, like, just stays inside like a clique or a niche, right? And but not Dragon Ball. Like, it's like, to me, like, I remember sitting there like, oh man, like, you know, like Dragon Ball, you know, Z is just the, like, it's anime for black people. So many people I knew, like, at my time, I don't even was watching it, right? And then in front of my only white kids, it wasn't much white kids like this shit, too. It's like, okay. Then you realize, like, holy crap, a lot of people like this shit or right, have watched it, you know?
I've heard people of different races go, that's the exception. there have been, when I was in high school in inner city, mm-hmm. or middle school in inner city, there are plenty of, you know, people who would you consider to be ghetto or any along those lines, love Dragon Ball Z. No matter what, no matter where you move to, they know what it is, they love it, and it's just a part of society.
Yep. Yeah.
Which I think is very impressive for a dude who literally created Super Saiyan because he was tired of inking people's hair. Like, putting so much ink on this hair. Nah, blonde. I don't care anymore. I don't ink in their hair anymore. It takes too much time.
I know. Makes you wonder why, like, so many people were bald after a point. It's like, why is everybody bald?
Doing all that hair, it takes too much time. Can't just draw an outline. Mm-hmm. I gotta ink it in.
Super Saiyan 3. Oh, my head. This power is extra.
That's why Super Saiyan 3 is they're always blonde. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to draw that. Let's draw a squiggly outline.
Mm-hmm. God.
But it was.
But at least it was, he was right about it. He was realistic. He wasn't like lying to you. It was like, so why is it like, oh, because this hand of my bird.
It sucks.
It sucks. It really sucks, guys.
But know? It's one of those very interesting situations of you have a guy who creates a thing that was so popular that there are, in Dragon Ball Z, there are three distinct arcs. Well, four distinct arcs. The Saiyan one, which is the very first arc. The Namek arc, the Android arc, and the Boo arc. Each of them called sagas. This man wanted to end it on the Android arc. But it was so popular, the Toei just like, please no. What? No. We like the money. Please no. No. We know you want to stop. We know you want to stop. But I know you can make something cool with it. So please, take this money.
And then we get Boo.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
it has its ups and downs, but it's still one of those things of he wrote this story because, like, even when it was just like, I wanted to end it here, he still was able to create iconic things that people know and love. It's like Super Saiyan 3 is stupid. I get long hair. That's my bet. My Super Saiyan ability, I get long hair. People fucking love Super Saiyan 3. And it doesn't show up after the Boo arc ever. Yeah. No one likes it. It's kind of stupid, but it looks cool. It
does look really cool.
And everybody likes it because it looks cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, like, the series does fit better if it, like, he wanted to end it, like, if it did end, they're like, this makes sense, especially, like, if it just ended with Cell, right? This makes sense. Even if it ended with the regular Android and they came back to, or after the Namek saga, the story's great if it just ended after Namek, too, you know?
Right, and while it is goofy with, like, all the yelling and screaming and all that kind of thing, because they were making it at the same time as the manga and they were kept getting caught up, so they had to create filler by extending fight scenes to match.
Correct.
Narratively speaking, there's a lot of things that they do with a lot of side characters and keeping the plot interesting without it being solely focused on Goku as the only character. Half of the Namek arc is just Gohan, Krillin, and Bulma exploring Namek, trying to gather the Dragon Balls. Which is a very interesting way of going about it, because you actually have side characters that matter. And for a lot of these stories, it's mostly main character or nothing.
Yep, main character. Main character's got to be there to do the thing. Or the main character's there with the side characters. See Naruto filler. Or just Naruto in general.
But most of the large swaths of the series are, like, focused on characters that aren't Goku.
Yeah.
Which makes it more interesting because you now have redemption arcs of, like, Vegeta, who's a villain at the first arc and is a hero with a wife on Earth by the end of the series. Who wanted to destroy everything and instead has grown to be, like, a father.
And then there's Piccolo.
Oh, you mean the real dad? Gohan's real dad. Who, again, Piccolo as a character also has a whole redemption arc of he was a villain that was destroyed and he's like the offspring of the villain. And him turning good after understanding how things going and losing the martial arts tournament at the end of Dragon Ball.
Yep, which is, you know, impressive. Destroying everything. You know, completely destroying the tournament. It was freaking brilliant. Man, so, I haven't seen that in years. I might have to go watch that fight again.
It's Dragon Ball is so synonymous with a lot of things, and it ended up crossing a lot of generational divides because when Toriyama finished Dragon Ball Z, he was done. Yep. He didn't want any more Dragon Ball. He didn't care. Like, he was done. He is done working on it. And they let other people make GT, etc. And he was retired.
Yep, he was done.
And then the West decided to make Dragon Ball Evolution. Oh, man. Yeah, this is not a joke, Reinhold. When Dragon Ball Evolution came out, Toriyama thought it was so bad that he had to come out of retirement to write more Dragon Ball because he didn't want Dragon Ball Evolution to be the last thing that was Dragon Ball. He was so offended by how bad it was. He was like, no, no, no. Dragon Ball Super. I'm making a whole nother series. I can't. I'm back.
He's like, I took that personally. No, you don't understand, Randall. Like the movie, like we rag on like Netflix adaptations and stuff like that doing live action. No, this was terrible. This was completely like, or like just people just like, you know what? We didn't really look at the source material at all. We just kept doing things. And this is where that anger comes from, is because they do anime in this way, where they just don't look at the source material. They just try to create things, which they made Goku go to school, which if you read any of Dragon Ball, or he doesn't go to school. Like, boy's dumber than a box of rocks. That's the point of his character.
Yeah, he is an idiot.
Fight genius, okay? Fight genius, yes.
He can grow you some great crops.
Yes.
But he is dumber than a bag of hammers. Literally, it's a point in the narrative that his son Gohan is forced to go to school by Goku's wife.
Yep.
Because she doesn't want him to be as stupid as his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So she forces him to go to school and go to college and get a degree, because you don't have to fight all the time.
Yep. Which dad doesn't, just like, screw school, come fight. We can go trade.
Yeah. But yeah, Dragon Ball Evolution was so bad, Toriyama came out of retirement to make Dragon Ball Super, which created a whole nother generation of people to watch Dragon Ball and the series, because it also introduced a bunch of interesting concepts that people like Goku Black and Super Saiyan Rose, which is,
oh shoot, he's not black.
God damn it. Actual line in the series, by the way, Reinhold. But it created, and like they brought Broly into like the actual canon, which is like the legendary Super Saiyan who was like a fan favorite from like a movie spinoff.
Yeah. Huge Black Air Force energy on Broly. If you don't know who Broly is, just, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Personification of Black Air Force energy.
But Dragon Ball Z has also become so synonymous, like, that it spawned its own subculture with Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Okay, yeah. Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
So, for people who don't know, there's a YouTube channel called Team Four Star who made Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Oh, real quick, this is stuff we're talking about. So, this is like Piccolo from the anime, right? This is Piccolo from the live action.
The fact that they put an MCU scroll there and it looks more like Piccolo than that is so sad.
Oh man, I just noticed that. Oh, look at that. Oh,
it's so sad. But yeah.
It's so bad. So bad.
But there's a YouTube channel called Team Four Star where they took the first three arcs of Dragon Ball Z and abridged it. So they basically cut down a lot of fight scenes, made it more humorous. But Dragon Ball Z Abridged, it becomes so synonymous with Dragon Ball Z that some people see the characters as the abridged version of those characters.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, the perfect example is Nappa, who at the very beginning of the series is Vegeta's like lackey. Is this big buff bald guy? From the people who don't know the memes, it's the guy who goes, "What, 9,000?" from the memes.
That's open eye.
Yeah, from the memes. That character got a brand, like a whole nother life, because of Dragon Ball Z Abridged. He's like, "Look, Vegeta, it's a Pokemon. It's a Pokemon."
Ghost of Nappa. With Vegeta the saga of Vegeta going insane with Ghost of Nappa. Uh-huh. Talking to Nappa.
That there's so much personality they put into the abridged because they cared so much about the series that they went out of their way to make it more to want to give fans more content based on stuff that's already there. And it allowed a whole nother level of humor and entertainment from a series that at that point was already like 20 years old.
And the thing is, like, a lot of the jokes you only got if you watch the show. Mm-hmm. They fall dead if you've never watched it. You know, if you have no idea what these things are. It just falls dead to you. Like, I don't get it. Why is this funny? Why is this professor supposed to be the smartest man in the world? Why is he so racist? What's going on here?
There's a hierarchy. There's the ground, the worms in the ground, Popo's stool, then you.
But that's the other thing. Popo's got hands. Popo can handle just about anything else that's walking up there.
But it's...
Didn't stretch. Took on Super Saiyan Gotenks, which is a fusion between two kids. We were Super Saiyan. Superpowered kids. No stretching. Took them.
Yep.
Still on his house slippers on.
But yeah, it created a whole other genre of things that was so popular that there is so many abridged versions of anime series on YouTube if you go and find them.
Right.
Because you have Dragon Ball Z abridged and Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, and those are like the standards that got people to start making abridged series.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, there's some trash ones out there. Be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some people are trying, which, honestly, I love the attempts. Keep trying. Make good content. Awesome. Yeah. Fan-made content is great. You know, do people like it? It's your first attempt? Maybe not. It's your first time. It's your first go. You know, try again.
Yeah, it builds a lot of creativity. And, yeah. And with, it's that other layer of doing something for the fans because you're also a fan. It's almost like writing fan fiction, but it's more humorous than just writing your own narrative about the characters. You're following the plot and making the jokes that you made with your friends to share with other friends.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally in Dragon Ball Z abridged, there's the scene where they land in the rubble where they have to blow it up, and Krillin starts making pew noises with his mouth. Pew, 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 pew. And Trunks, the character beside him, goes, "Are you making pew noises?" "Yeah, it's fun." And he starts doing it too, and it's just so good.
I know.
And it's just one of those things that that's always in my head referencing that series because it's so random and out there, but I could totally see Krillin as a character doing it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's also the other thing is that they keep true to the character before everything else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it also shows like that they love the series, they care for the series. And I also like before the parody, like for the series, they tell everyone like, "Hey, watch the, you know, we don't own this," and like, "Go watch the official release. Go watch this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to go watch this show." And you know, freaking loved it. And again, oh man, yeah. It's just great that they took the character design and the story and just made some other content with it. You know, and shared it out there. It's great.
And with Toriyama just making series of being invested in the things that he made, like Chrono Trigger is arguably one of the best JRPGs ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On this, it's on the Super Nintendo. They made a bunch of re-releases. Yeah. And that was one of the coolest parts of the re-release that they had Toriyama make cutscenes for the Super Nintendo game.
Yep.
In his animation style, since he had designed the characters in his style.
Yep. Set a very high bar for those RPG games going forward. You know, so when people finally sat down and took that Final Fantasy VII disc out, it's like this reason why they had a slap because the bar was set so high on the NES.
Right. Like, there's that, and then they did the Dragon Quest games, which when they transitioned from the 2D and sprite-based things to his animation style, it becomes very obvious that how much his influence on the style plays to the aesthetic of the series. Yep. That while it's also a great JRPG, his aesthetic on it helps a lot of people enjoy it as well. And having the Dragon Quest characters in Smash Brothers is so crazy to see Toriyama's art style next to Mario and Kirby just in the game. But he was very.
I think they've taken some of that into. Well, I was playing Fortnite recently, and I've seen some of the characters in there that are like the 2D flat. Very stylized, you know. I think that's part of that too, right?
Goku's in Fortnite. The Dragon Ball Z characters are in Fortnite.
Hit people with the Genki Dama.
That's how.
Well, they just got done with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle nonsense, but that was
one day. I don't know if it gets good.
just think about that, Reinhold. They put Dragon Ball Z characters in Fortnite, which was a popular game with a bunch of kids. And that was one of the first animes they put into that game. Over Naruto, over any of the other ones that were currently airing, they put Dragon Ball Z. They're like, no, Goku. Before they put Marvel, before they put Batman, but Goku.
Family Guy.
Yeah. Before they put Street Fighter, Goku.
Yep.
Because people wanted to play as Goku.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a reason for the longest time, people wanted Goku in Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Still do. Still want Goku in Smash Bros.
I know. I was looking at the date that this was released.
Okay.
And I think I can explain why I didn't get into it. So it came out in 86, right? And I was in the Navy at the time, studying 80 hours a week. And then after that, you know, by the time it ended, I was still, you know, working probably 40, 60, 80 hours a week. At two jobs, so I completely missed all cultural stuff from the middle to end of the 80s. Was kind of a blur and a blank to me. So
that's the interesting thing is that a lot of the Dragon Ball Z stuff happened early 2000s at the end of 99. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it showed up on Cartoon Network. They put it on Toonami. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was the anime that got kids into anime.
Yeah.
It was those Dragon Ball Z for the boys, Sailor Moon for the girls.
Yep. Ronin Warriors too.
Sailor Moon for the boys too, a little bit there.
I mean, yeah, obviously. But when they were marketing it, it was Sailor Moon for the girls, Dragon Ball Z for the boys.
Yeah. Then that weird cut of card captures where they try to make card captures for boys. It's a weird cut. I recommend watching the show. It's so different.
And that was before they brought in like all the Yu-Gi-Oh's and Pokemon and all the other things that were more like widespread for other generation, other genres of things.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dragon Ball Z as an idea lived on for so long, and it's crazy to me to think that he has been around. Like, he died so young. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's also an issue with the anime industry, manga industry in Japan.
Yeah.
Because that can take a toll on you, being told, hey, I need you to write a chapter every week. Mm-hmm. And not just write it, I need you to write it and draw it every week for hundreds of weeks on end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a lot. There's a whole other discussion to have about the health of mangakas and how they deal with constantly working. So the closest other example that people worry about is Oda, who writes One Piece, because he constantly has to take almost month breaks for health issues and all of those kind of things, because it's such a toll on your body to basically be told to work all the time, basically.
Yeah.
you have this deadline, you have to meet it. And him making, while it's funny to go, ha ha, he didn't want to ink the hair, so he made them blonde, so he could just leave it blank. That probably saved him like 6 hours.
Yeah, hours. A week. Yeah, probably went from 4 hours of sleep to five.
Yeah, he was able to actually like sleep a little more, you know, not work as hard to get it done because he was able to, you know, give himself a breather.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see him pass at such a young, relatively young age for
person. Anyone passing under 100 is young. You're right, because like the culture of how the manga artists in Japan are treated, like here in America, we're not shielded because our cartoonists, when they pitch a show to a network, it gets put off to a team, and a team does it. Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't like that doesn't kind of happen, especially if you have a comic book. Like usually, it's not like the one person doing the comic book, and it's the team. The teams get you write the storyboard, team goes, and you go, and you've got like, but it's like monthly issues. You're not doing like a chapter a week; you're doing a chapter a month.
Right, and like if you look at compare like in the manga to comic book industry, like if I was writing a floppy for a comic, which is like what 20 pages.
So I was trying to be generous and call it a chapter.
Right, like one floppy for a comic is a chapter of a manga. Right, sometimes they have multiple writers, they have multiple illustrators, inkers, colorers, all those other things.
Yep.
Panelers, all these other things, and then in Japan, when it's a mangaka, it's like it's you, and you maybe have like two assistants. Good luck, get this done. We need this every week, please.
Remember, break your legs
every week, please, because you're making us lots and lots of money. Yep. Please, please, and thank you.
Yep, yeah, it's a. Yeah, and even though like we try to get Crunchyroll to help change that culture, that didn't happen, but eventually will, you know.
But that's just kind of a cultural aspect of it over there.
Which like isn't some of the newer younger crop are taking more breaks now?
Yeah, so like the person who made Chainsaw Man, he literally wrote up to an end point. It's like end of act one, and he took like 2 years off. And he's like, then he came back later and started up as act two to give himself like a break because that's how far his story went at that point.
Yeah. But which frustrates you as a fan, but you also understand, like, no, I value the artwork of this thing. Please,
right. Like, that's why a lot of people, when the creator of Berserk passed, if you didn't know, he passed, but one of the things about Berserk, even up to the end, was before he passed, he was very, very, very detailed oriented. Like a panel of Berserk looks like an artwork. He like spends time specifically drawing trees individually and all these things, and him putting that time and effort into creating the story the way he wanted it to be, we didn't get an ending to it because he passed.
Yeah.
And like when we bring it back to Toriyama, when the Dragon Ball Super manga was going on, he handed it off. He eventually got to a point, it's like, cool, I feel like I've told all the Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super I can tell. Here you go. And the craziest thing is that the person he handed it off to was a kid who made his own fan manga of Dragon Ball Z. And he made a fan manga of it on his own time when he was growing up. And then when he started doing the super manga, he pulled it, this kid in. The kid was helping him work through it, and then he handed it off to him. Because he saw that this kid had passion for it. The manga he wrote is goofy and silly and has like Super Saiyan 6 or something ridiculous in it.
Yeah.
It was still a fan that he pulled in who loved the series so much that he went out of his way to learn Toriyama's art style and to want to work with him and create stories in Toriyama's world, because that's how much he loved the series.
Yep.
And being able to hand that off to somebody who cares, somebody who will take his series into the future in a way that he knows that this person's passionate about it.
Yeah.
Which is always so exciting to see when that it can be a thing. So I just think that it's important to celebrate the people who have changed a lot of the world. Because personally, I was Dragon Ball Z. I loved Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z was great. When I was a kid, I would turn on Toonami. I didn't care what episode of Dragon Ball Z was on. I was going to watch it. Even if it was some of the slower or goofier ones, like when Goku and Piccolo try to learn how to drive.
Yeah, for reasons.
Which is super stupid because they can fly. So they don't really need a car. Yeah. But personally, I love the series. They not only when they had the screaming, but also Kai, which they basically took the series and removed all the screaming out of it and smashed it together, which is fair.
Yep.
But it's one of those. Dragon Ball Z is a story that brings people together, because a lot of people know about it. It's silly. It's goofy. So some of the characters are ridiculous. The first arc is solved by a fat guy with a samurai sword. Like,
yeah, a side character.
And there's a reason that people will always talk about kids want to be a Super Saiyan. They want to be like Goku. There's a reason that in the fucking grocery store you can get Reese's Pieces with Goku's face on it and Trunks's face on it, because it's so synonymous with the culture of anime and people. Because it doesn't matter where you come from, no matter what language you speak, no matter who you've been around in your entire life, almost everybody, you can go, hey, do you know Goku? Goku? Yeah. Super Saiyan? Yeah. You have a connection immediately.
Yep. It's great.
From a little cartoon that a guy drew that was originally a gag manga that he turned into a martial arts manga.
This is what he grew to. You know, you get people, and it stands the test of time, because like it gets, my favorite thing about is when Goku always gets brought up to bump it above Superman, that loser, that chump. Even epic rap battles got into the Goku versus Superman debate. It just shows this little comic. This is what people think. Like, when you go for in that genre of the superpower, Superman is like, we got freaking Goku right here.
Right. It's like I said, they have very similar stories, and for kids, they're the most powerful people they know. Superman is a super powerful alien that can fly and break stuff and shoot laser beams. And Goku, man, even though he dies, he always comes back and he has these super awesome powers where he can turn Super Saiyan and he can teleport. It's so cool. They're the two most powerful things that you know.
Right. Yeah.
And for a lot of kids, Super Saiyan is awesome. Goku is awesome. And while Superman has lost a lot of what makes him, interesting for a lot of people, Goku still kind of brings that narrative out for people.
Right. Yeah.
It's this is an outsider who is introduced to a new place, who he learns from this new place, adapts, and wants to protect his new home.
Yep.
And while people want to power, the simple fact that Dragon Ball Z introduced the concept of power scaling to hundreds of fandoms and the absurdity of what power scaling is, because it doesn't make any sense. But because they had a scouter that read people's power levels, and we got the meme of it's over 9,000, it just existed in the world. And to think that this, there are so many universal memes of the, across the internet. Over 9,000 is one of the universal memes of the early internet that people know and love, and no matter how, even some of the newer people know about it because it's so synonymous with the internet at this point.
Yep. But it, like, it affects other things. So, like, I'm at that part in One Piece when they, you know, are not, like, they're kind of like talking about that, like, my power level's over five times of his. Just like, yeah, oh my God.
Because Dragon Ball Z created the concept of power, didn't create the concept, but popularized the concept of power scaling of this person compared to this person who wins based on their power level.
Yeah, the power level. This thing increases my power level.
And it created a bunch of internet debates and forums and YouTube channels with, and hell, Death Battle only exists because of power scaling.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Death Battle only exists because of power scaling.
God. So nice.
Yeah, it's, I felt like it was important to talk about Toriyama and Dragon Ball Z and everything that he put into the world, because for the most part, if it wasn't for Toriyama, I wouldn't be the person I am. Because if it wasn't for Dragon Ball Z, I would have never watched anime or been interested in some of the storytelling things that I know about or looked into or cared about. And we wouldn't, there'd be a bunch of less interesting, funny things on the internet, because without Toriyama, there would be no Princess Trunks, which would just be sad.
Oh, hail Princess Trunks. For the bloodline, I'll let you be Princess
Trunks. Yeah, I just thought that, that with his passing, it's important to, like we did with Kevin Conroy, to celebrate the people that made a massive impact on our lives and the lives of the people around us.
Right. Yeah.
Because with no Dragon Ball Z, there would be no, there really wouldn't be half the things we talked about.
Yes.
On this in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like Toonami wouldn't have went hard in anime and I wouldn't have got my, I would have got all that Gundam.
Yeah. You wouldn't have got your, you wouldn't have got your Gundam. You know, I don't know about Reinhold, but you're muted, Reinhold.
Sorry. I said the 3x3s we did before, I would just be the one with all of that stuff because you guys, yours would be blank.
It'd just be books.
Blanks. It'd just be books. Completely different. Who knows? Yeah.
It'd just be books.
Yep. Who knows?
And it breaks Dr. that. Who's yeah. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Doctor Who, I was looking at some Star Trek lore. You know, they're trying to get Peter Capaldi to play the captain in Deep Space Nine.
I did not know that.
I found that out of the deep lore, and I was like, oh, that would have been really good.
An excellent actor. So.
I know. Now really funny,
have you seen the pictures of him with Tom Baker? Because when Peter grew up, he was a huge Doctor Who fan to the point where they were telling them, please stop writing us at the show. And he, there's a picture of him and Tom Baker standing next to each other when he was just a kid. So that, I mean, that was always great that they had a guy who was in the role who grew up with that as, you know, his thing. So,
yes. See, now you feel, how you feel about Dragon Ball. Same thing.
It's, again, it's one of those series that breaks cultural and generational and almost and socioeconomic, you know, divides that people who like action things like Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. No matter where you are in the world, you could probably find, you'll probably find somebody with a Goku shirt somewhere. You'll, even if it's drip Goku covered in Supreme shit. Or any of the ridiculous concepts I've seen on the internet.
Yeah, I know. There's always the Saiyan power armor stuff, like workout gear you get your hands on. I've always seen people at the gym with it on. I'm like, what a weeb. I want one, but what a weeb. Or I went to go, when I picked my daughter up at her spring break camp, the guy, he's got a gym in the back, and he's got a little figurine of Vegeta with weights, lifting weights. I'm just like, weeb. Yeah, I'm not gonna say I do the same thing. You know, like, I listen to the Saiyan workout motivation playlist myself.
so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta celebrate the people who created things that you love, and no matter all the flaws that are in Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball GT and Super, it's still something that is so culturally relevant and entertaining even up to this point. Going back to watch Dragon Ball Z, if you go back and watch it, you could find an arc, or you'll find a fight that's interesting to you, or a character motivation, or entertaining part of everything. So I just wanted to celebrate that. And also, if you haven't played Chrono Trigger, go play Chrono Trigger, because it's a fantastic game. Such a good JRPG.
Yeah. All right. And I think we'll end it. Does anyone want to say any more final words before I go my ending spiel?
I just did mine, so.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. If you've made it this far in this episode, you're a true key holder, and we appreciate you guys. Could you listen to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this and that? Thank you. Hey, we are streaming on Rumble today, so you can find us on Rumble now at rumble.com/ looking for low key wall. So we're there. Look us up. We actually have a bunch of people watching us, you know, on Rumble. I'm sure they're just wondering who the heck are us, but hey, we're a podcast network. We've been podcasting for well over 3 years now. do enjoy the aspect. I really enjoy these people. We talk about, you know, just about anything on this show. This is a live show. We recorded at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, not Eastern Standard Time, it's EDT now, Monday nights. You can find us on Rumble now. You can get us on twitch.tv/WeAreLibertarians. That is twitch.tv. We are libertarians. You can also find us on youtube.com/WeAreLibertarians. You can also get us on Facebook. We're Libertarians on Facebook. Find us there. No, I don't have our own Facebook page. Nah, I'm not doing that. I give you Rumble. Okay. All right. Maybe make a mind. If you get enough of people, you email me, I'll make like a minds page. Maybe. I don't know. So yeah. We got to see you guys next week. It should be fun. So be safe out there, guys. Take care of yourselves.
Sensu bean.